Pardon me while I dab the sweat off my giant forehead. It keeps getting bigger and bigger.
You're gonna need a bigger towel.
It's like a fucking aircraft carrier.
Thank the light, everyone. I am flying by the seat of my pants to die. And these are my wolf brothers.
What's up? I will be your Glenn Fry to die. Why? Because you got dirty laundry, bro.
No, you're smuggling smuggler's blues.
No, they're okay. I gotta tell the story.
Well, hold on. I will be your Don Henley to die because he's the guy who actually sang that song.
I know. But you got to hear the story because this is not okay. So I work with this kid. He's like 22 maybe, and I there was a song playing, and it was either One of These Nights or. No, it wasn't M-bop. It was a fucking Eagle song, dummy. It wasn't M-bop. It wasn't Hanson.
Well, you said
M-bop. Okay.
Or is it a M-m-m-m song?
No, it was either One of These Nights by the Eagles or I can't remember. Pretty sure it was One of These Nights when I was like,
great song.
Hey, Ben, you want to be my Don Henley today? Or you want to be my Glenn Fry today? And he's like, why? Cut dirty laundry? Like, he came back with it so quick. And he's young too, you know? I was like, oh, dude, I love it.
That's awesome. Fuck yeah.
Well, we went and saw the Eagles, and my 19 or 20-year-old daughter, she's 20, she was rocking out to the Eagles. She loved them.
Because the Eagles are awesome, bro.
They are, man. 75 is still going strong.
They're like, they rock, but they're like just soft enough where you can maintain that. Right. Like, they're not super soft, but when you're 70, like, you can have Eagles energy at 70.
It's Southern rock, you know, so you got to take it easy. They should write a song about that.
You know.
You can have
best podcast ever.
I'm trying to, I'm fucking waiting till the last second because I want to get these, the Dead & Company's playing this weekend at the Gorge, and it's like fucking tickets for like $500. I'm like, I'm not doing that ever. I can't afford that, but I'm not doing that. And they got down to like 200. I'm like, okay, if they go under 200, I'll buy two. And it went down. I saw one for 180. This one, I was like, fuck. And I was like, the concert's Friday. I'm like,
sorry, Lisa.
It's gonna be the last time they're playing. So I'm just waiting. There's plenty left. So I'm just like, if I can't get it tomorrow, I'm just gonna snap them up and go. And
who is it? You said?
It's the remaining members of the Grateful Dead, and then John Mayer is singing lead and playing guitar.
Oh.
I've seen him twice with him already, and Lisa used to follow the Dead actually with her ex-husband for a while.
Really?
And seen Jerry a few times, and she's like, he's better, he's as good or better than Jerry. And like, there's a lot of old heads that are like, I know it's blasphemy, but man, he's the guy, dude. He's fucking John. And I'm not even like a John Mayer dude, but it's man, he's good, man.
We were in Hawaii and that song Heartbreak Warfare came on by John Mayer. And I was like, it's a pretty good song. I don't want to say it, but dang, it's a pretty good song.
I'm not the like hugest guitar guy, but like dude can fucking play, man.
I've heard he's just good.
He's just good, dude.
I wouldn't know it.
Can I see Dead & Company with Ed Sheeran? Is that next year's concert? Are they going to do that next year?
Oh God, I hope not. He'll be busy going for his
He's opening up with his other band, Ed & Company.
Sure.
I was gonna say he's preparing for his cameo on the House of the Dragon. So.
Oh yeah.
And he will never go on a show ever again after how much hate he got for being on Game of Thrones.
I know.
It's like the poor guy. Like, how can you get so mad? People were really mad about The Mandalorian because like Lizzo and Jack Black were on it. It's like, first of all, like Lizzo's like, I grew up. My dad, like, I love Star Wars. I would never, like, are you kidding me? It's a dream. Yeah, like, why would you get mad at people who are that excited to do it?
Because it's not me.
Jeremy, you do it all the time. Don't shake your head, Jeremy. You do it all the time.
Okay, well, I would get mad at The Mandalorian because it's not very good now. That's why.
You know what, man?
Who cares about Lizzo? It's.
I want to disagree with you, but man, I haven't been able to get to the third season. I'm just kind of like, eh, he's not Baby Yoda anymore. He's fucking Grogu, dude. It's all good.
That season came out, and I was like, I think I'm going to pass.
My dog's cuter than Grogu.
I haven't watched any of the new Star Wars stuff. Have you guys watched any? Like, I haven't watched Andor, and everybody says Andor's pretty good, but I tried watching that Obi-Wan. Oh, my God, that Obi-Wan.
Tales of the Jedi, their anime stuff is kick-ass.
I did watch that, and that was
pretty good.
That was okay. I mean, it didn't blow my socks off.
I just don't even want to start. Like, I'm kind of interested, but it's like, well, then I'm going to have to watch that. And then I'm going to have to watch all three seasons of The Mandalorian. And then I'm going to like, it's not like I'm just going to watch Andor and be like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And that's the thing, too. I was like, oh, man, give me more Star Wars. I'll eat it all up. I don't care. And it's like, oh, no, now it's like too much.
Full.
Like, you know what made me pissed off? No, you know what made me pissed off, though? I read like, fucking seriously, Jeremy knows how much I read. I read like 45 fucking Star Wars books.
Yeah.
I could tell you everything that's not. That's wrong with their new Star Wars shit. And fucking,
it's like passing out at 10 o'clock on Halloween night. And then someone wakes you up at midnight and shoves a Tootsie Roll in your mouth. You're just like, oh, God, that's disgusting.
Okay, sure. I get it. I see.
You don't get it.
I know.
So today, everyone.
I'm going to say stuff a Tootsie Roll in your ass. That would be bad.
Today, you can just slide one right in. I'm good to go. Fucking Tootsie Roll.
It's like a pinky, dude.
Seriously. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were going to party.
Are we not here to party?
The problem with a Tootsie Roll is when I look at it, I don't know if it's coming or going. Oh!
My God. I was going to stay on the rails tonight, and we're so far off already.
Well, we're going to get to the point, and then we can get off the rails a little bit, but then we don't have to, like, corral ourselves in 45 minutes to listen to a clip.
I have notes, but a lot of them are kind of jokey notes and just fun because everything's
so everyone up. we're just barreling towards season two. I can barely like contain myself. I'm kind of excited. I'm gonna finish book three pretty soon, so that'll be kind of cool. Justin's been passing on some pretty cool videos and interesting things, but it's kind of, you know, everyone says it differently, so it's kind of cool listening to other people, you know, say things the way they do. But I feel fairly confident that there's not very many stones we haven't turned over ourselves. You know, we might not be as concise as some YouTube videos, but our ideas are out there. And if you listen to enough of us mumble around, you'll find some good insights and stuff.
Where are you in the books right now? What chapter?
44. 43, 44.
Okay, cool. Because I was going to say, I was like, are we, I hope that we will do the chapter Shadow Brothers just because it's awesome.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. So next week in real time out there, we're going to do, we're going to meet the Maidens tonight, which again is something we've pretty much talked to, but it's still kind of interesting to hear their official intro in the book. And then next week, we're going to do kind of a silly chapter just because Justin and I have joked so much about people not believing in snow.
It's not that silly, actually. You know what? I was kind of like, oh, it's whatever. But then the end, it ends awesomely, like badassery.
Like this chapter or just that idea?
The one where they're an alien and it's kind of silly. It ends amazingly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The chapter's good. Yeah.
Perrin's like, oh, you want to hurt my friends? Why don't I rip this fucking chair leg off and beat you to death with it?
And then we're going to do, hopefully then we'll get some more actual news. And then we're also going to go over some YouTube videos and kind of, you know, throw our ideas on top of other people's ideas as we prepare for season two.
Well, and that's why I wanted to, the unraveling the pattern, I don't know if you watch all of it. I like that because he comes at some angles that, you know, I haven't thought of or.
I don't know, though. I feel like we've like.
Some of the stuff that he comes at, though, it's he goes back in like the first season and starts pointing out stuff that you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, like as like support, you know.
I think he's just organized his thoughts better than we have.
Okay, fair enough.
But I mean, I don't want to disregard him because he's got some good ideas. But I, you know,
he kind of makes a lot of assumptions on what he thinks is going to happen, and so he's like, if this happens, then this happens, and this happens, and this happens, and this happens.
I like his theory game. It's fun because it's that kind of usually some of his stuff is kind of an alley that I didn't pick up on, or maybe I picked up on the end game, but I didn't have the reasons why, like that. I just, I'm like, that's what I think.
Well, and he did us all the favor of putting all the 50 still shots in order, which is super cool. And I can't thank him enough for doing that.
Well, and I think your idea is really good to just look at the stills and kind of, okay, we've seen that when we talked about that. Boom, what's that one? Okay.
Yeah. Or where do we think this is going to be? And then, yeah. So that'll be two episodes of us just kind of rambling news, getting our last guesses out there, because then we won't be able to record for a while. You out there will keep getting releases, but we won't be able to record for a while, and then we're going to record one more right before season one, and by then we better have a fucking trailer hopefully an origin or two. And we're just going to be...
Twitter's going crazy. They're like, are we getting a trailer today? And everybody's like, nope.
Oh, I know. When's Comic-Con?
I think we're going to get something next week, I think. So I feel like something's got to happen.
Prime Day's 11th and the 12th. Maybe we'll get something on Prime Day.
Oh, there we go. That'd be novel.
What, merchandise? Oh, wait, no.
No, they don't do that either.
I'll buy a pop art Rand.
What I don't understand is, like, you come out and you're like, hey, here's the day when the show's going to drop. Now let's never talk about it again.
I know.
Bring up the
show. Well, the writer's strike is affecting some of that.
Well, they don't need to write.
No, because like a lot of times when that happens, like everybody else kind of stands in like solidarity, and so they don't promote shit either. I've been
right.
That's a lot of things they've been saying anyway that I've been reading. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of lame. But I guess
no one to edit together a trailer
they're just kind of like, hey, man, if they're not gonna pay you, then fuck them. We're not gonna work either. So we're salary. Fuck it.
Jesus Christ. Speaking of time travel, welcome to the future, Dez.
Hey, Dez. Dez. I'm from 2023. You're gonna tell a joke in 2000. Wait, it's 2017. In 2023, you're going to tell a joke.
You blew it already.
Don't do it. I'm like the Flash.
It's too late.
Wait, did I come back too early?
What's happened has happened has always happened.
When does this happen?
Then.
Oh, we just missed it.
Which timeline are we in?
When is now?
Now? Now is the Dragon Reborn, Chapter 38, Maidens of the Spear. We're going to start about 8 minutes in. This is another chapter that, like, the whole thing is interesting, but we're just not going to listen to the whole thing. So we're really going to jump in the middle of it.
What?
It's a 23 minute. Yeah. You know what? If you're a fan out there, go listen to the entire chapter.
Most of what I know about the Maidens of the Spear comes from the little Elaine has told me. I know you fight in battle and don't care for men, but no more than that. Elaine nodded. The way she had described the maidens to Egwene had sounded much like a cross between female warders and the Red Aja. That look flashed back across the Aiel's faces, as if they were not certain how much sense Egwene and Elaine had. We do not care for men? Shead murmured as if puzzled. Bane knotted her brow in thought. What you say comes near truth, yet misses it completely. When we wed the spear, we pledge to be bound to no man or child. Some do give up the spear for a man or a child. Her expression said she herself did not understand this, but once given up, the spear cannot be taken back. Or if she has chosen to go to Ruidim, Chiad put in. A wise one cannot be wedded to the spear. Bane looked at her as if she had announced the sky was blue, or that rain fell from clouds. The glance she gave Egwene and Elaine said perhaps they did not know these things. Yes, that is true, though some try to struggle against it. Yes, they do. Chiad sounded as though she and Bane were sharing something between them. Bane went on. The maidens do not dance the spears with one another even when our clans do. But the Sharad Aiel and the Goshien Aiel have held blood feud between them over 400 years. So Chiad and I felt our wedding pledge was not enough. We went to speak the words before the wise ones of our clans, she risking her life in my hold and I in hers, to bond us as first sisters. As is proper for first sisters who are maidens, we guard each other's backs, and neither will let a man come to her without the other. I would not say we do not care for men. Chiad nodded, with just the hint of a smile. Have I made the truth clear to you, Egwene? Yes, Egwene said faintly. She glanced at Elaine and saw the bewilderment in her blue eyes she knew must be in her own. Not red Aja. Green, maybe. A cross between warders and green Aja. And I do not understand another thing out of that. The truth is quite clear to me now, Bane. Thank you. If the two of you feel you are first sisters, Chiad said, you should go to your wise ones and speak the words. But you are wise ones, though young. I do not know how it would be done in that case. Egwene did not know whether to laugh or blush. She kept having an image of her and Elaine sharing the same man. No, that is only for first sisters who are maidens of the spear, isn't it? Elaine did have spots of color in her cheeks, and Egwene was sure she was thinking of Rand. But we do not share him, Elaine. We can neither of us have him. Elaine cleared her throat. I do not think there is a need for that, Chiad. Egwene and I already guard each other's backs. How can that be? Chiad asked slowly. You are not wedded to the spear. And you are wise ones. Who would lift a hand against a wise one? This confuses me. What need have you for guarding of backs? Egwene was spared having to come up with an answer by their arrival at the copse. There were two more Aiel under the trees, deep into the thicket, but next to the river. Jolien of the Salt Flat Sept of the Nakai Aiel, a blue-eyed woman with red-gold hair nearly the color of Elaine's, was watching over Dailin. She took a sword, Avienda said. Some of those fools that the oath-breaking tree-killers call soldiers thought we were another handful of the bandits who infest this land. We had to kill them to convince them otherwise. But Dailin, can you heal her, Aes Sedai? Nynaeve went to her knees beside the injured woman and lifted the bandages enough to peer under them. She winced at what she saw. She wanted to die near water, Avienda said. She glanced once at the river, then quickly away again. Egwene thought she might have shivered, too. Fools, Nynaeve began rummaging in her pouch of herbs. You could have killed her, moving her with an injury like that. She wanted to die near water, she said disgustedly. Just because you carry weapons like men doesn't mean you have to think like them. She pulled a deep wooden cup out of the bag and pushed it at Chiad. Fill that. I need water to mix these so she can drink them. Chiad and Bane stepped to the river's edge and returned together. Their faces never changed, but Egwene thought they had almost expected the river to reach up and grab them. If we had not brought her here to the river, Aes Sedai, Avienda said, we would never have found you, and she would have died anyway. The wise ones use herbs, Aes Sedai. But I had not heard that Aes Sedai used them. I use what I use, Nynaeve snapped, and went back to sorting through her powders and whispering to herself. She truly does sound like a wise one, Chiad told Bane softly, and the other woman gave a tight nod. Dailin was the only Aiel without her weapons in hand, and they all looked ready to use them in a heartbeat. Nynaeve surely isn't soothing anyone, Egwene thought. Get them talking about something. Anything. Nobody feels like fighting if they're talking of something peaceful. Do not be offended, she said carefully. But I notice you are all uneasy about the river. It does not grow violent unless there is a storm. You could swim in it if you wanted, though the current is strong away from the banks. Elaine shook her head. The Aiel looked blank. Avienda said, I saw a man, a Shinaran, do this swimming once. I don't understand, Egwene said. I know there isn't much water in the waste, but you said you were Stone's River sept, Julian. Surely you have swum in the Stone's River? Elaine looked at her as if she were mad. Swim, Julian said awkwardly. It means to get in the water, all that water, with nothing to hold on to? She shuddered. Aes Sedai, before I crossed the Dragon Wall, I had never seen flowing water I could not step across. The Stone's River, some claim it had water in it once, but that is only boasting. There are only the stones. The oldest records of the Wise Ones and the Clan Chiefs say there was never anything but stone since the first day our sept broke off from the High Plains sept and claimed that land. Swim. She gripped her spears, as if to fight the very word. Egwene sighed. Well, I am not a daughter heir to know all these things. I will learn them, though. As she looked around at the Aiel women, she realized that far from soothing them, she had put them even more on edge. If they try anything, I will hold them with air. She had no idea whether she could seize four people at once, but she opened herself to Sidar, wove the flows in air, and held them ready. The power pulsed in her with eagerness to be used. No glow surrounded Elaine, and she wondered why. Elaine looked right at her and shook her head. I would never harm an Aes Sedai, Avienda said abruptly. I would have you know that. Whether Dailin lives or dies, it makes no difference in that. I would never use this, she lifted one short spear a trifle, against any woman. Egwene had the sudden feeling that the woman was trying to soothe them. I knew that, Elaine said, as if talking to Avienda, but her eyes told Egwene the words were for her. No one knows much of your people, but I was taught that Aiel never harm women unless they are, what did you call it? Wedded to the spear. Bane seemed to think Elaine was failing to see truth clearly again. That is not exactly the way of it, Elaine. If a woman not wedded came at me with weapons, I would drub her until she knew better of it. A man might think a woman of your lands was wedded if she bore weapons. I do not know. Men can be strange. Of course, Elaine said. But so long as we do not attack you with weapons, you will not try to harm us. All four Aiel looked shocked, and she gave Egwene a quick, significant look. Egwene held on to Sidar anyway. Just because Elaine had been taught something did not mean it was true, even if the Aiel said the same thing. And Sidar felt good in her. Nynaeve lifted up Dailin's head and began pouring her mixture into the woman's mouth. Drink, she said firmly. I know it tastes bad, but drink it all. Dailin swallowed, choked, and swallowed again. Not even then, Aes Sedai, Avienda told Elaine. It is said that once before the breaking of the world, we served the Aes Sedai, though no story says how. We failed in that service. Perhaps that is the sin that sent us to the Threefold Land. I do not know. No one knows what the sin was except maybe the Wise Ones or the Clan Chiefs, and they do not say. It is said if we fail the Aes Sedai again, they will destroy us. Drink it all, Nynaeve muttered. Swords! Swords and muscles and no brains! We are not going to destroy you, Elaine said firmly, and Avienda nodded. As you say, Aes Sedai, but the old stories are all clear on one point. We must never fight, Aes Sedai. If you bring your lightnings and your balefire against me, I will dance with them, but I will not harm you. Stabbing people, Nynaeve growled. She lowered Dailin's head and laid a hand on the woman's brow. Dailin's eyes had closed again. Stabbing women! Avienda shifted her feet and frowned again, and she was not alone among the Aiel. Balefire, Egwene said. Avienda, what is balefire? The Aiel woman turned her frown on her. Do you not know Aes Sedai? In the old stories, Aes Sedai wielded it. The stories make it a fearsome thing, but I know no more. It is said we have forgotten much that we once knew. Perhaps the White Tower has forgotten much, too, Egwene said. I knew of it in that dream or whatever it was. It was as real as Telairan Riod. I'd gamble with Matt on that. Nynaeve used the bloody bandages to wipe Dailin's stomach, smearing away bright new red blood and black crusts of dried old. There was no wound, no scar, only healthy skin considerably paler than Dailin's face. Wash the rest of that off her, she said, and put some clothes back on her. She's cold, and be ready to feed her. She will be hungry.
I just realized what this episode and next episode have in common is in this one, there's people who don't believe in swimming. And in the next episode, there's people who don't believe in snow.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. True. Things are coming together.
It's true.
Yes, I know. So, and just to set up, because we don't have any setup. So the Wonder Girls are on their way to Tyr. They're searching for Black Aja.
Nynaeve, Egwene, and
and Elaine, and their boat that they're on gets, I think it runs up on like a sandbar, like a mud flat or something, right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
In the night. So they get off and they decide they're going to start walking or riding their horses or whatever. And then they come across the Aiel, the maidens of the sphere. And so, but you get three important characters, and we know we're getting them this year in the season two. We're getting Avienna, we're getting Bane, we're getting Shead. So that's who they meet right away. So one of the things, Jeremy, when they first like meet up with them, Egwene's like, I feel this kinship with Avienna. And she's like, oh, it's because she could be Rand's cousin. That ain't it. It's because she can channel, and she can channel very strongly.
Oh. Yeah.
And so any women that can channel, you're like, why do I feel like I know this chick? Or why do I feel some kind of like bond with them? And that's why immediately, because she can channel.
And does Avienda know that right now?
I believe Avienda knows at this point that she can channel, because she's kind of avoiding becoming a wise one. You'll see as you go on, like the wise ones kind of coming like, hey, you can't just keep being a maiden in the spirit. You're going to be way too strong to be doing that shit.
Yeah, like being somebody who can channel is like when you recognize his kinship with another guy, and then you're like, there's something cool about this guy, and then you realize he's a Raider fan, and then he lifts up his chest, and it's like total like tattoo across his like Raiders for life.
Like Raider Nation for life.
You know my pain. You know the suffering.
See, with me, it's always people from, like, I'm from Montana, so I'm a Midwest boy at heart, and they're always like Minnesota, Dakota. Like, whenever I just, like, I'm at a party and I just find myself in the corner just totally vibing with someone, I'm like, where are you from? They're like, South Dakota. I'm like, yeah, that tracks.
You always have a blanket in your car, spare gas, extra batteries, a Coleman lantern,
a gallon of water,
a 12 pack of Magnum condoms. So this kid and his dad are at the store, and the kid, he notices these condoms, and he's like, you know, he's 11 years old, and he's like, Dad, what are these? And the dad's just like, well, I might as well, you know, start having the talk with him now. He's like, what's this one here? And he said, the one that's for high school kids, that's for Friday night. He's like, well, what's this three pack for? He goes, well, that's for college kids. You got one for Friday night and two for Saturday night. And he said, what the hell is the 12 pack for? He said, well, those are for married men. One for January, one for February, one for March.
That is the daddest of dad jokes, Dennis.
That is like the most dad joke ever, dude. Okay, back to the story. So I think you got to get some, I mean, probably not like this, but you got to get some kind of version of an Aiel introduction that's going to have, maybe it might not even be Bane and Shead and Avienda. I think, you know, you got to have like, you get to see how capable they are, because, you know, they don't even realize that they're hiding like right underneath their feet. They're like, who else is around here? Do they have bows? Like, no, they will stand up and stab you. They're so close. That's how good they are at what they do. And you get to just see, you get to see some depth of like the maidens kind of societal, you know, oh, they're not into women. It's like, no, they're not just scissoring all the time. They're not only into chicks. Like, they actually like dudes. They just don't get married. They don't have kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so there's like, they have some idea, but they're actually really, really wrong.
Or if they do, they have to give up the spear. That's their,
yeah, they can have a child. They either have to give up the spear or they have to give up the child to be raised by, you know, someone else.
So do we find out that Rand's mom, is she like just like living amok, never giving a fuck, or is she,
no,
why is she pregnant with the spear?
No,
because she is with a clan chief.
Oh
yeah. So when you get pregnant and your mom is a maiden, what usually would happen is they would give it up for like adoption. They give the baby up.
Oh, okay. So you just can't get you. Okay, okay.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, and then the baby never knows like who the mother is. It's they're like sworn to secrecy. You don't tell. So,
which is also a part of their kind of prophecy, because they do know that the dragon reborn, or as they call him, the Karakarn, which is what, the chief of chiefs, right, Jeremy?
Right. Yeah.
That he will be born of a maiden. You know.
Yes.
And so it's always like an honor to raise a child that's given up by a maiden, especially if it's a boy.
And do the kids, so does in Aiel culture, then, if you're an adopted orphan, it's probably kind of a given, like, oh, my mom's probably.
Yes, your mom was a maiden of the spear.
Sometimes. I mean, but a lot of people die, you know, the warrior septs have children too, and they do get married.
That's true too.
And so they could be, you know, orphan. Other ways, they do raids, you know, but generally, if you're not a warrior, they don't, like, if you're a blacksmith or you're a roof mistress or you're a tailor, like, they don't come and kill you. They don't generally, like, take you Gaishan or anything.
I want to be a roof mistress.
You have to work a lot harder.
Right? It seems like a good job.
Can I wear a kilt and pound nails?
There's no nails. It's like a adobe. No nails. Yeah.
Well, the Aiel, they punch the nails in.
That's true. Like in Karate Kid Part 2, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So the three that we've seen, that's got to be Avienda, Chiad, and Bane. Like the three that were like doing the sign language in the video.
Yeah, that is them. That's
for sure them.
That is.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been confirmed.
Yeah.
And... they, you know, you're thinking they're going to have to explain, and Jeremy, I don't even want to hear it, but they're going to have to explain the veils for killing only.
Are they?
I think they're going to have to go into that a little bit more.
Well,
I don't know. I feel like they need to a little bit
I more. Don't know.
Tom.
If they've never...
Or you're going to at least... I feel like you're going to get some major shots of them veiling up this time.
So Tom explains that in the first season.
I know, but...
But then, like, I don't know, an episode later, they go against it.
Oh, that's right. That's because I was like, oh, we've already passed the point. They don't need to do that. But yeah, Tom totally.
Yeah. He talks about it.
Says it's when they're veiled when you need to be.
You need to worry.
Yeah. He's like, oh, this guy wasn't dangerous. He's not veiled, basically.
Yeah.
And then like Jeremy said, like they went against it the next episode.
Wow. Literally the next episode.
My thoughts are still on that. It's TV. They're foreshadowing that, you know, if people are clear watching, like, oh, she's not born in Aiel. She's still a wetlander.
Well, I don't know. You're giving them a lot of credit.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Yeah,
you know who doesn't get any credit, Jeremy?
Me.
Yeah, good. See, we're evolving.
You both suck assholes.
Des, you and me, always, right?
Always, yeah. Apparently, I'm out of the friend group now. Circle of Trust, Fatty's out of it.
That's right. No longer.
So maidens are, so they're like, are maidens relatively rare?
No.
Or are Aiel all, there's so many, they're all warriors, so there's plenty of maidens?
There's a lot of maidens, actually. There's lots of maidens, yeah.
Yeah.
When you get to see, like, go ahead, Jeremy.
I was just going
to
say, so let's say, you know, at 17, 18, whatever you decide you want to become a maiden, and you are a maiden for, like, till you're, like, 22, 23, then you meet someone you want to get married to, you give up the spear.
So it's like the Israeli army. Everyone serves.
That's literally what I was going to say. That's literally what I was going to say.
You're not wrong. It's about the closest thing we have into this world is the Israeli army. It's pretty close. So a classic example of Nynaeve's fucking like kind of like over the top stubbornness and kind of like you kind of see her hubris and her ridiculousness kind of right here where she's just like, we want to die near water. And I get it. She's trying to like amp herself up to, you know, it's like, you know.
She's getting herself mad.
MMA fighter punching himself in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just you do see too that it's kind of a place where even though Elaine and Egwene still are like, oh, she's badass, they're kind of starting to see like she's just a person like the rest of them. She's not some great, like, you're starting to see the scales balancing.
Yes.
Right now, even though Nynaeve's trying to hang on to that kind of leadership role, it's dwindling, you know, and they're slowly kind of evening out. And so this is one of the first places I really noticed it, and I was like, oh, okay.
And I think shortly after this, Egwene and Nynaeve started getting kind of like an argument too, don't they?
They do. They pretty much argue until they get
to Tyr.
To Tyr, I think.
Yeah, they get into like an argument because Egwene's like, you know what? I'm not a little girl anymore. You're not my babysitter. It's not.
Yeah,
you know,
you're not. It's not you're like not that. My wisdom. We're not in Neiman's Field anymore. So
yeah, we're all in this together.
Yeah, it's funny, Des. You're like, it's swimming for Aiel. Like, I literally am like, swimming for Aiel is like snow for you. Yeah,
exactly.
And we'll get, and for that one, we'll see you next week.
Next week with the snow.
The only other thing, it's like I said, you get a little bit more Aiel culture to you. You know, they kind of make jokes. Egwene says, we can't share Rand, Elaine. Neither one of us can have him. It's like, she's very fucking wrong. And, it's kind of ironic because all the people in that conversation, Rand's not in the conversation, but Elaine is, Avi's there, Min's not there, Gawain's not there, but then Eggy's there, And they're all kind of in Bane and Shiet, or they're all people who kind of have really complicated relationships in the book.
Totally.
Yeah. And Gawain and Gawain's always trying to like defer to Galad because he's like, well, he likes Egwene too, so I guess he gets her. Never mind if Egwene likes him or not, you know?
Yeah.
That's right. Rand can end up with Gawain. That's fine.
Yeah, fucking.
Works for me.
And you see the fear of the water, even though they're like kind of like they're very brave, like they're not afraid of anything, but they like don't want to get too close to this.
And they touch on the fact that, like, again, just all the things that have been lost to time, like these three, four maidens still have no idea why they were banished to the wasteland. They're just like, our ancestors did something wrong. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? You start to get some glimpse of that. Jeremy, is that when they go are having the visions at Riordan, that's them in Riordan. It's not at Perrin-Deeson, right? When they start having the visions of them serving the Aes Sedai when they go to the past.
Yeah, that's in Riordan.
Riordan, okay.
Yeah.
Riordan?
Yeah.
Riordan?
I've heard it pronounced like Riordan.
37 different ways. I can't wait till they say it in the show so I can know canon appreciation.
Yeah, however, why can't I think of her name? However, Moraine, however she's, not in the show, however she says it in the...
However she reads it on the books.
Exactly. Yeah, that's going to be canon.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That works for me.
And they also talk about Balefire, who, like, you know, Balefire is, like, something that's kind of been lost, almost, like, traveling. And for an Aiel woman who, you know, doesn't really channel...
Why do they know about it?
That's a good question.
Yeah, so the thing with the Aiel is they have a lot of, I would say, communal knowledge passed down, like, oral knowledge.
Definitely like generational knowledge for sure.
Generational knowledge. Yeah. And so something that has maybe in a place that like they would consider themselves more a learned area, like, you know, Kyrian, Camelin, Tyr, where maybe you learn more from books, but maybe this is not in books.
Not so much book learning as like oral histories.
Well, and they stay together too, like where it seems like on the mainland, like everyone's kind of separated into little clans.
Exactly.
The Aiel have remained a large chunk of people.
Yeah.
And not everything is.
That are still very individual. You know, they all have their individual septs and they can be, you know.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, Aiel are fighting each other.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. They raid each other all the time. Oh. Yeah. That's why they're so hard. Oh. They don't just fight in practice. They fight all the time. You're going like, you know, little villages against villages and little tribes against tribes, you know, that are.
Do they steal each other? And like, what are they fighting for?
Resources, water.
Yeah, they take Gaishan, right? Which is people, people, water, livestock.
Food. Yeah. Livestock.
Food. Yeah.
God, this is a terrible, terrible world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They make the Aiel out to be very, you know, like literally kind of.
And not just, I'm not just saying the Aiel. I'm not blaming this on the Aiel.
It's like, oh, they're so savage. They're so savage. And then you get to know all of them. And it's like, they have a different way of living. And to them, it makes sense. And they're actually no different than anybody else.
They're the kind of people that'll sneak up to your bodega at night and stick gum in the locks.
Yeah, that bad.
Bunch of savages in this town.
That's what I said.
But they're also, you think of it also like in Dune, like the Fremen, right? They are, you know, prophesied to be the people of the dragon. They need to be strong. So they've also been forged in fire in this land and then fighting each other because, you know, when you're fighting each other constantly, then you become very good fighters. And then as they become even better fighters, then they're fighting each other. So then they just like sharpening each other all the time. So they just keep getting like tougher and tougher until they're ready for whatever it is Rand's going to use them for. And then just to go back to your question about the why they would know about Balefire, in what you'll also see is there's a scene later on when they're going to Riordan and then they go through the glass columns and they're going back in time. There used to be like Aes Sedai that would travel with Aiel, and they lived a very long time. And so they would travel with them. And so maybe they had a little bit more of the history, you know, just stuff that was passed down through that.
Well, a lot of them were scribes and would like, you know,
yeah,
they worked really closely with the Aes Sedai, and they helped keep records. So they probably knew a lot about what Aes Sedai could do. And you start to see some glimpses of that in the last couple of books when they start going back in time. You see the Aiel, mm-hmm. like working closely with the Ogiers, singing and growing things and stuff. It's pretty fucking cool.
Do some Aiel join for the final battle? Are all Aiel on the same side?
Yeah, I think they are.
For the most part, yes. There are certain Aiel that are made to serve the shadow.
Well, and of course, there's a dark friend in the Aiel because there's dark friends everywhere.
True.
But in general.
Well, but at this point, by the time you get to the last battle, most of the like kind of shitbird Aiels have been dealt with. And the remaining that are not necessarily dark friends, but are like, you know, let's say not on board with everybody else, they're kind of going off to do their own thing. The Shido still exist at the end, right, Jeremy? They just
go back to the waste.
Holy shit. Okay. As usual, we've turned this tiny subject that I thought was going to be a quick one into a full episode. So I'm going to just wrap this up because I know we will get back to all this shit. I'm going to do my usual. I'm going to do a big outro at the end and just have that be the outro for both. Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. Send us questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. We are getting ready for season 2. What do you think about it, everybody? If you're looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light, look no further. Listen to this. Talk to your friends. I know it's been hard, at least for me, it's been hard to hype this show because I didn't know when season 2 was coming out. And I'm like, hey, you should watch season 1. And then good luck, fuckface. But now that we got season 2 coming on, tell your friends, check out season 1, listen to our podcast. We have 3 episodes completely dedicated to every episode. That's besides all the other talking we do about the show. We have our Justin and I's original take. We have a commentary track and we have a rewatch of every single episode. So if you want to get ready for season 2, if you want to get someone else ready for season 2, this is your one-stop shop. And as I always say, Justin and I are Blumpkins. I mean Bloodkin.
God damn it. I'll just say this. I like red wine, but not a red Sedai.
Hey, let's keep our fingers crossed for Prime Day. Maybe we get some Origins on Prime Day.
Who's Captain Hope all of a sudden?
Right?
I like this, Jeremy.
Listen, don't.
Jeremy's like, I can't hate it if it's not there. Like, to hate
if
a show
that doesn't exist. I need it to hate? Be out to hate.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's existential hate. No, you know what's funny? I'm like, I'm really excited for season 2, but I do feel like the more and more I hear about season 3 and how closely they're going to adapt it to the Shadow Rising. And like one of the things that in that video dude said, like you said, speculation, you know, he could be talking completely out of his ass. He says it too, but going back and looking at some of the things that he feels like they set up, it's like they have the story as a whole planned out where they want to end up and they're going to have to do some things slightly different, but you're going to have to like go along and they're trying really hard to basically fit 1, 2, and 3 and the stuff they couldn't do for season 1 into this season so that they kind of almost are starting fresh at season 3. It's like, here's what you need to know. Now the story really runs. And so it's like, I hate to be like looking ahead already, but it's like, I really want to see how season 2 plays out. And then it, you know, if it does even 80% better than the first season, I'm going to be completely jacked for the third season because I really think that that's when it's going to, like, the whole show will mature, you know. And see the pictures of fucking Yosha, dude. Like, he's growing into Rand's, like, hardness already, and I love it.
Yeah. So the season we know is, like, already in the can, right? Season 2. And so I look at that can as, like, Schrodinger's can. And it is both a good season and a bad season at the exact same time. And the only thing that's going to change is when we watch it.
And Jeremy just wants to open that box and stab the cat.
I'm standing there with a gun. Open it. Open that box.
I told you it was dead. I told you it was dead.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? I am not average. I am not ordinary.
I just figured you, like, I don't know. You seem like a coffee enema guy.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And I'm sure it would have had something really, you know, profound and intelligent to say, but Justin derailed us. So